Our text for this morning's message is from that Hebrews lesson that we read. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" Dear friends in Christ, this might strike you as kind of an odd text to do just before Christmas. It's kind of a strange thing because we're preparing for the coming of Jesus here at Christmas and, of course, his coming at the end of the age. This text from Hebrews, though, directs us to the very reason that Jesus came into this world at Christmas and the reason why he's going to return. The writer to the Hebrews addresses the relationship between the Old Testament sacrificial system and the life of the Christian community. You see a dual nature there. Yeah, the fundamental question, of course, is this: do the demands of the sacrificial system still apply to us as Christians in a Christian community? Well, obviously. I don't know how many people here have engaged in sacrificing any animals or offering grain offerings up to the Lord, but that's not something we do anymore. So obviously the answer is no. But then, of course, what role does this reading play in our lives as Christians? What it does is it addresses us because even though we aren't making bloody sacrifices, a lot of times we're still creating a sacrificial system in ourselves that we believe somehow makes us holy. Against this notion, Hebrews proclaims that there's only one person, there's only one sacrifice alone, that Jesus, the fruit of Mary's womb, makes those who worship him holy. In other words, Jesus makes us holy. We don't make ourselves holy. See, God's will is actually to make his worshipers holy. Holiness, of course, is God's natural state. It's his godliness, his status, his power, authority, his otherness is in the fact that he is holy. He is perfect, holy, without sin or blemish. And so to be in the presence of God, well, you have to be holy, because God's holiness will not bear anything other than that. And to be made holy, you had to be made clean, to be made pure. Now, the sacrificial system that was in the Old Testament aimed to make the people of God both clean and holy. Purity only came through death. So, because the unclean, the sinful, had to be destroyed. It had to be utterly destroyed. If you wanted to be pure and holy, well, God instituted that an animal or a plant could die temporarily in your place. And I emphasize on that, temporarily. The different sacrifices actually removed guilt or sin and impurity, at least for the moment. The food from those sacrifices allowed us to have contact with God and with God's holiness. Through these holy things, God was actually able to communicate his holiness to them. Notice it's God doing it to them. But the sacrificial system was at best temporary. And what the writer to the Hebrews tells us today is that it pointed to something better. It pointed us to something that would be one sacrifice for all. Because these sacrifices can't make the people of God holy forever. Why? Because, I mean, think about it. If you have to repeat these sacrifices over and over and over again, all it does is remind you that you're a sinner and that you constantly have to repent and that you're still impure, you're still sinful, you're still unholy. Ultimately, let's face it, God really didn't desire sacrifice and offering for their own sakes. He did it so that, and he put it in place so that his unclean, impure, and unholy people could die and be recreated as clean, pure, and holy. So how do we know? Well, David declared it in Psalm 40, which is what that quote is in our text today. It's Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. And what we see here is Jesus, the Son of David, makes the psalm his own by singing it to the Father as he enters into the world. Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. He even goes so far as to say, in burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Jesus has come not to offer sacrifices that were partial, that were only good for a little while, that weren't really ultimately pleasing to God. He's come to do God's will. Notice that's what he says. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. Jesus came to do God's will by offering his body, his blood, once for all. In offering his body, his very self, Jesus does away with the whole sacrificial system. The old system, which was unable to do away with sins, is replaced by the offering of Jesus, a complete and full offering that actually does do away with all sin. And yet, I mean, let's face it, we still try to make our own little sacrificial systems in this world, right? We still try to make ourselves holy every once in a while. And it's because we don't always want to adhere to God's will. His will actually calls for the death of the unholy. That means it calls for our death. So what are some of the systems that we create, the sacrificial systems that we create by ourselves? Well, remember the story of the rich young ruler when he comes to Jesus? That kind of tells us a little bit about it. He asked Jesus what he must do to enter eternal life, to inherit eternal life. And Jesus says, well, you know the commandments. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. You know all of these things. In other words, if you want to inherit eternal life, you have to die to yourself and to love and serve God and your neighbor alone. Well, the young man responds. He believes he's done this. He says, all these I have kept from my youth. That's his sacrificial system. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. I've done all the right things. I've followed the commandments from my youth. But Jesus says, no, you don't understand. You have to sacrifice everything. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. He actually has to give up his identity as a rich man. He has to die. But the rich man's sacrificial system ends there. He can't sacrifice his very identity. So what does he do? He actually goes away in grief. Well, what's our sacrificial system that we've created? Where do we place our confidence? That's the real question. Where do we find our identity? Is it in our offerings of money, of time, of leadership, of skills, of service, of whatever else it might be out there? C.S. Lewis once said, whenever a thing or a situation or a cause becomes more important to you than God, that thing has become your God. And unless we're willing to let the Lord put even those things to death, what we've done is created our own little sacrificial system to please God. None of that can ever actually make us holy. I always tell people, it's not that we've got to do these things in order to please God, it's that we get to do things because God has saved us. It's not a got to, it's a get to. We do serve our neighbor. We do serve God in response to all that he has done for us. Not because we can somehow earn his grace. His grace is a gift. It's not something that you can earn. Because if you could earn it, then guess what? Christ died for nothing. Anyway. See, what happened is, in offering the body of Jesus Christ, this fruit of Mary's womb, God actually makes his worshipers holy. By this offering, God accomplishes his will to make us holy. He actually does it for us before we even asked. Christ's offering of himself actually cleanses us by removing our sin and replaces God's judgment of us with God's mercy upon us, and ultimately makes us holy through contact with Christ crucified and risen. God's will was accomplished for the world through the offering of Jesus Christ in his crucifixion. But it's no good to us unless God also accomplishes his will in us. That is, by cleansing us, by bringing us into contact with his holiness. And where is his holiness? We find it in his word, preached, listened to, read, heard on a regular basis, and his sacraments. Where do we find this God accomplishing his will in us? Through the waters of holy baptism. And in the Lord's Supper, when we receive his body and blood given and shed for us for the remission of our sins. See, we don't offer sacrifices anymore. Instead, God's will is done to us and upon us. God slaughters everything that is sinful and impure in us by bringing us to faith. And he offers us as a gift in mercy the life of his Son. By grace, through faith, we are made clean and we are brought into his holiness. And at the last day, all of his worshipers will be finally made perfectly holy at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ again, when we will see and touch him as he is, the crucified, risen, and everlasting Lord and King. See, here's the thing. Jesus has come to do God's will. All of our own sacrificial systems, all the sacrifices that we make by which we try to where we try to make ourselves pleasing to God, all those have been set aside. They're not valid. Jesus has actually put to death all of our own attempts at holiness. He's actually established his sacrifice, his coming, his incarnation, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, and his coming again as the only sacrifice. The only sacrifice that makes anybody holy. As it says in verse 10 in our text, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. So, prepare the royal highway. The King of Kings is nearly here. Our salvation is at the door. The fruit of the blessed womb of Mary, Jesus Christ our Lord, the one in whom God makes those who worship him holy. In other words, it's through Christ that he makes you and me holy in his eyes. In his name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, now and always. Amen and amen.